So I'm here in Toronto, Canada with Robert Scott Bell, Dr. RSB. What's going on, my friend?
What's going on, Ty? Good to see you again.
Good to be with you. Now, I don't know about you, but on the way in, they didn't force vaccinate me or anything as I crossed the border.
I was a little nervous, right? Yeah, but Canada hasn't gone that far yet. But
yeah.
It's not that they won't try.
Yeah.
You know, we're dealing with an issue that is very serious and pretty severe, the consequences, if you don't know what you're getting into.
Yeah, I mean, we've seen that over the last couple of years with many different instances of forced vaccines. We look at California, mm-hmm. a year back, passed the forced vaccine bill, SB 277.
Yeah.
Or 277.
Yeah,
277.
Yeah.
We looked last year at the documentary from Andy Wakefield, Vaxxed.
Mm-hmm.
And talk a little bit about that. What
happened
with
Vaxxed? Yeah, you know, you're getting flack when you're over the target. Obviously, it hit a nerve that needed to be suppressed, if you will. The freedom of speech didn't matter. Vaxxed documentary, of course, talked about the CDC whistleblower, William Thompson. And all of the attacks on the film were not about the content of the film. They were literally about Andy Wakefield and his past, the smearing campaign that they did on him, simply because as a gastroenterologist, he observed in these pediatric population of patients a novel form of gastrointestinal inflammation. And in that inflammation, he found, oh my gosh, there's the virus that's from the specific measles, mumps, rubella vaccine. The measles virus was present. So from there, you say, okay, there's a problem here. And they also, many of them exhibited autism-like features or they were diagnosed into the autism spectrum.
The original article didn't say the MMR caused autism.
Right.
But the mere linkage was enough to say we've got to do something about this if we're coming from a vaccine industrial complex scenario, looking at, oh, will people stop believing in these vaccines? And that is what it is. It's a sacrament in the church of pharmaceutical mysticism. It is not a real scientific endeavor anymore. It's about the holy grail attempt, if you will, to achieve artificial antibody stimulation. Or they might claim that the antibodies are real, but they're not the same thing, and they don't provide the same level of immunity should you acquire and encounter the disease in the natural state. Mm-hmm. And that's a big problem, but they'd like us to believe that it isn't.
So you mentioned the church of pharmaceutical mysticism.
Yes, the
How
vaccine.
How did this church come about when it relates to vaccines?
Well, there was a time, if we go back to the dawn of this idea, Dr. Jenner was observing, as a number of people had, that the milkmaids that were milking the cows that had the cowpox didn't suffer from smallpox.
And this is a couple hundred years ago.
Oh, this was way back. Yeah, yeah. So some of them posited that I wonder, you know, if there's a reason that they're getting or encountering this cowpox, that it might have something to do with preventing the smallpox. So they started taking the pustules and the material, the debris from the cows with cowpox, and they would open up the arms of victims, I call them, and stuff that biological material, unknown material, into these arms of these people, these kids. And there was a high-level sepsis, blood disease, there was amputations because of it, there was death, and there was smallpox as well. But the idea of vaccination, vaca meaning cow, comes from that concept. Now, they had no idea of immunology at the time. It was an observation, and I'm not against observing things, but then to violate the way the natural order of the universe is and work and violate the skin and puncture it and put all these unknown materials in there, it's a disaster. It's horrible. And that's where this all started. And everybody that speaks in terms of a superficial history of Jenner and the cowpox smallpox vaccine says, oh, Jenner's the greatest guy ever for developing it. Yet many people despised Jenner, thought he was an absolute criminal for what he did. And there were many people that were against vaccines and that would throw out the vaccinators because they were spreading disease.
Well, you know, that's interesting that you say that. There's interviewed with Andy Wakefield. He went into the multiple cases of outbreaks of smallpox after they vaccinated for
Correct.
Smallpox.
Yeah.
I mean, it actually caused the outbreaks.
Right. The revisionist history says Jenner was a savior. The reality, if you look into the history books, the vaccinators were loathed because they brought disease with them. Mm-hmm. And until they threw them out, you know, that's when the diseases dropped again to pre-existing situations, if you will, lower levels or no levels at all. So the idea of vaccination, if we come to a modern immunological perspective, is the stimulation of the immune system to produce an antibody for a disease that they don't want you to get or manifest, right? And this is the idea, and of course they inject it primarily, there are a few exceptions to that, but they've done it in a more high-tech, so-called scientific way, so it sounds like, well, it's in a syringe, it's got to be really scientific, and it's not the same as just gathering pus from a cow udder and cutting you open and putting you in, but it's really not that much different. There are unknown biologics and contaminants that are coming in all the time. Many of these vaccines are now produced in China. I don't know about you, but when I buy something that I know is from China, I'm a little suspicious, I'm a little concerned, and I might not want to do that. But there's a bigger concept here in terms of immunology. do we have the ability, even with an antibody, to totally prevent all disease or disease specific to that which you have an antibody? That's a big question.
It is a big question. And you mentioned the way that they're produced today. Talk about the way that vaccines are cultured, the substrates. I mean,
sure.
Just go into the details about that, because many people are unaware.
Yeah, well, they'll use chicken embryos, monkey kidney tissue, renal tissue from dogs, animals like this, aborted fetal tissue. They, of course, have to neutralize these things with toxic chemicals like formaldehyde, which is embalming fluid. Sometimes other forms of antibiotics are utilized in the production. Heavy metals to create an adjuvant kind of thing to aggravate the immune system so that they can use smaller amounts of the antigen that would produce what they're calling their holy grail, their antibody response. But it's an absolute nightmare because they haven't analyzed how it impacts other body systems in its entirety, much less multiple shots, multiple vaccines, all of the things that are in concert or the entire schedule. So there's lack of safety testing in reality, and that's a big part of what the controversy was over the film Vax that Andy Wakefield put together with Del Bigtree and others. They don't have the safety studies. They haven't done the safety test, and in fact, they've suppressed data, thrown out data that would link these vaccines to neurological damage and autism, even though the inserts to certain vaccines acknowledge encephalopathy, different brain or neurological conditions, Guillain-Barré, paralysis associated with the use of these vaccines. Mm.
So you're saying that the modern mantra that they have been proven safe and effective is not true?
Oh, it's one of the biggest lies in the history of medicine. Yeah, absolutely atrocious. It's a tragedy. And we're now just waking up as a culture, although I've known about this for 25 plus years since my training in homeopathy, looks at the body different, the immune system differently. Mm-hmm. But we don't want to attack and destroy or poison the body to make it well, nor do we need to rely upon antibody production for prevention of disease.
Mm. You mentioned the immune system, so that makes me go to the place that now, in today's society, we almost use immunization mm-hmm. synonymously with vaccination.
And they're not the same thing.
That's my question. Yeah, yeah. Are they the same thing?
Not even close, yeah.
What's the difference?
Well, the immunization means you're immune to something, right? You can't get it. Now, here, let's take it out to the creation, spiritual perspective, that which created us all. If it were possible to stimulate an antibody into existence and we would never get the disease again, then we would find some evidence of that in the natural world. I think that's a reasonable thing to posit.
Right.
Question, did you have chickenpox as a child? I did, right? And we were told that we are now immune for life because we've had chickenpox. That's great. Natural acquired infection. I've got my kids the chickenpox when it was around the neighborhood. I made sure they got it early too. But the reality is we're seeing more and more adults, sometimes even younger adults and sometimes children, suffering with a disease known as shingles. Shingles happens to be caused by, guess what, the varicella virus, the very same chickenpox virus that we got chickenpox with in childhood. Mm-hmm. And yet we have the antibodies for it. So how is it possible if a naturally acquired infection, although it's better, and I would argue that, yes, there's some level of protection. In fact, there's more science looking into the protection against chronic diseases and even cancer by acquiring these infections naturally as a child.
Well, I mean, chickenpox parties, right? We had those.
Yeah, and even measles now. They're utilizing these measles viruses and chickenpox viruses against certain cancers. Mm-hmm. So really, there's a protective aspect and a development of the immune system, a maturation, very important that we don't want to deny children. Mm-hmm. But we also want to carry them through it much more safely. That's what we do as homeopaths and naturopaths, more holistically oriented, that we can look at these diseases as not, oh, every child that gets them is going to die. That's another lie that they say. Everybody dies of measles. That's how they get you convinced that if it happens at Disney, we should put these people that are not vaccinating away. They're criminals, right? It's not the case. It's those who are vaccinating are the criminals, in my opinion, based on their lack of, their ignorance, perhaps, certainly arrogance, but ignorance of the way the immune system really works. The antibody is not sufficient to protect you from any given disease. The functioning of the immune system is everything, not just the antibody. Mm. Primary, there's all kinds of levels of immunity, innate immunity, et cetera. The gut, the microbiome, that plays a huge role in this. So you may not have the antibody, but you may successfully, let's say, acquire chickenpox and show very little evidence of having chickenpox because your immune system is so powerful, it just knocked it down before it really had a chance to take hold. That's not taken into consideration.
So, Robert, you mentioned the chicken pox.
Yes.
Right? But if you never got the chicken pox, then they're saying, you're probably going to get shingles.
Sure.
You have a chance. But you can take the shingles vaccine and it'll prevent it, right?
Yeah, of course. If you look at the shingles vaccine, it's actually precipitating an increase in the incidence of shingles, as the chicken pox vaccine is, because there is no longer a natural immunity, if you will, conferred from a real infection. It's a synthetic or artificial induction. It doesn't have the same intensity in terms of the taking within the body. And the shingle shot itself, if you start looking at and analyzing all the data around the shot, we were at a conference with Dr. David Brownstein a while back, and he brought it out because he brings it to his students and other doctors that come to him about, hey, should I get the shingle shot? And he's like, go look at the study and tell me how effective it is. And it turns out it's about 1% effective.
1%.
Excuse me, with all the adverse events associated with it, and it's maybe 1% effective. I mean, the thing about this is manifesting a disease is a lot more complicated than, or the prevention of it, than just an antibody. Mm-hmm. And the fact is, if you're a marketer of vaccines and your vaccine doesn't work, it's a simple, let's say, plot, if you will, to change the name of what manifests afterwards, right? Smallpox, we've eradicated. Well, now it's not smallpox, it's, it's something else. They'll just basically monkeypox it. Something like that. So they just have the PR, the control of the public relations campaigns around these vaccines, so we all perceive and believe, yes, they eradicated polio with polio vaccines. That's a whole other disastrous story because they don't even know what causes polio. It's really DDT, there's sugars. There's all kinds of things associated with destruction of the law of the terrain that manifests in neurological paralysis, heavy metals, etc. But that's, again, a story that needs to be told, but one day we'll look back at history and say we were lied to about that as well.
Well, you just mentioned there's like a big can of worms here. So
sure.
You mentioned the monkeypox, you mentioned the polio vaccine, You mentioned changing the name of diseases. So let's combine all those into one and talk about the polio vaccine, which we know some batches were contaminated with SB40, monkeypox, and the fact that that actually has been shown to have caused non-Hodgkin lymphoma. Mm-hmm. And talk about the way they changed the name of polio.
Well, after the so-called eradication of polio, they couldn't acknowledge that any kind of paralysis that's named polio exists in the world, the Western world, where they've used this vaccine. Even though Salk said he wouldn't, use it, right?
Yeah.
The reality is they just, call a post-polio paralytic scenario, right? Sometimes we could see Guillain-Barré as a, paralysis, if you will.
Yeah, I think they also call it acute flaccid paralysis.
Acute flaccid paralysis is another one.
So
they
basically invented
the
new diseases.
Same symptoms, same
that
disease.
Were the same as polio.
Exactly.
So that way, if you look at the bar graph of polio, it looks like it
goes down.
It out.
Right, exactly. And once they stopped using DDT, of course, that was a big influx to neurological damage and degradation. So it was already coming down, just like all the vaccines. When they introduced them, they were on the tail end because of improvements in sanitation, hygiene, nutrition, etc. So that's real key to the terrain, the entire immune system. Again, the holy grail of the antibody. I'm not opposed to antibodies. I've got ways to address and sensitize the immune system much safer than the injection of toxic medicaments that if you put in a baby's bottle and had them drink it, you could be arrested for attempted murder.
Be arrested.
Yeah, and that's the thing.
They kill the kid.
But they inject it and say, oh, it's fine.
Yeah.
So we utilize something called homeoprophylaxis at home. My kids have not been vaccinated, and they've never even had an antibiotic because we have a different way to look at the body and support immunity. And homeoprophylaxis uses homeopathic forms of diseases or disease processes. We call these things nosodes, N-O-S-O-D-E, or nosodes. And this is a safe way. You can take a killed form of a pathogenic material, if you will, viruses, bacteria, fungal species, and safely address them via serial dilution and succussion into a homeopathic form, and then administer them orally, typically, and you can sensitize the immune system without devastating it, gently putting the signaling in. And in this case, you can see prevention, and there have been studies that have shown that this is efficacious as diseases drop. I think it was leptospirosis in Cuba. That they had done the nosodes because they couldn't get the vaccine. And it was an inadvertent study analysis that kind of put a very embarrassing mark on the vaccine belief that it takes substances at toxic levels, albeit small, but still toxic in my opinion, levels into the body. They were using nosodes and found it prevented the disease much more efficiently with no adverse effects.
That's interesting. So that study showed that the nosodes work, and one of the things that you mentioned before that was the fact that these diseases were virtually wiped out before the introduction of the vaccines.
Yes.
Talk about that real quick.
Well, think about the lies we've been sold, how efficiently they've sold them. Like they'll say, look, the vaccines really wiped it out, and they'll take a graph and they'll eliminate 50 years prior and put it to the about the year that it started, and you'll see a downward graph, and you'll say, oh, look, the vaccines did it. But what about that spiral, that graph that goes up before that was going that same chart, going down the same way? So if you enter it at that point and just blow up the chart from there and ignore history prior, then you have a convincing argument to say, look, it was the vaccine that was responsible. Mm. But you have context that's much larger and longer and broader that shows that indeed it's not the case. And of course, the adverse events associated with vaccines, including now autism, not really considered in that argument.
Yeah, that's true. Because you know, I mentioned that because I've seen some of those graphs. I've seen whooping cough. Mm-hmm. I've seen measles graph.
Yep.
And I've seen a couple of others. I can't remember the diseases, but almost all of them, they're almost completely wiped out before the introduction of the vaccine. But the vaccine is credited
exactly
as the savior. When in reality, you mentioned
it's great marketing.
You know, hygiene. You know, yeah. They weren't drinking water that was contaminated with their own fecal material.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that's really important.
Better nutrition.
To look at in context.
Exactly. Yeah. So the nosodes we can use in a few ways. You know, one of them I like is in place of, although a lot of folks get a little up in arms about saying that. But the concept of vaccination as it's from Jenner's time forward has been applied as abhorrent, you know, the way they do it. I'm not opposed to stimulating antibody production gently, safely, but I would do it homeopathically with the nosodes. You can also, in some ways, reduce the potential toxicity for those that feel like they're trapped and they've got no way out. Mm-hmm. Prepare their body, perhaps, to have a lesser incidence or intensity of an adverse event. I'm not saying that I would guarantee that, but if push came to shove, I would have you use a nosode prior to a vaccine. But the other way is to detoxify from previous vaccines. You can use nosodes or the actual vaccine material and convert it into a homeopathic form, which is not technically a nosode in the same way, but it can sensitize the system and start throwing out some of the damage, the initial insult and assault to the body, even decades before, to undo some of that damage after the fact. I mean, I'd rather not have to undo damage that's caused, if you understand what I'm saying, but we have a lot of people that are damaged and injured. So that's another protocol technique to help detoxify from the adverse impact that the vaccines initially kind of unleashed.
Okay, last question this time. I know we'll talk again about this topic, but
sure.
I mean, shouldn't we all take the flu vaccine? I mean, to prevent
If you have a deficiency of mercury, of course, you need more mercury, 25 micrograms per, although there are forms with lesser, but the point of the flu shot, it's a crapshoot. There's no real safety or efficacy studies done, and they're adding more and more of the adjuvants, whether they be aluminum or otherwise, to stimulate into production these so-called antibodies to the strains of the flu that they're guessing via Democratic vote or a dartboard throw each year at CDC and elsewhere. It's just an absolute nonsense. They don't even know what the flu really is. And of course, liver congestion can create the flu. Mm-hmm. Digestive upset can create the flu. It isn't just one germ each time or one virus each time. Yeah. So for me, the flu shot is one of the worst examples of, you know, the marketing of something that is absolutely worthless and useless and dangerous into existence to be accepted every year. Have you gotten yours? As if it's mine. It's not mine. It's not yours. It's not anybody's. But it's marketing words. You didn't get your shot.
Right.
You know how they use this. It's very carefully selected words to make it seem like it's, you know, it's part of you. It's not, how would you reject what's yours? It's not yours. It's not mine. Stop it. Right? So yeah, no flu shots.
I'd have to disagree with one thing you just said. You said there have not been any studies on the efficacy of the flu shot, but I would say one word,
mm-hmm.
Cochrane.
Oh yeah, the Cochrane collaboration.
And I know you're aware of this.
Well, yeah, but I was thinking in terms of proving the efficacy, right?
You were mentioning their side.
Yeah,
right,
but in terms of efficacy, the Cochrane collaboration just blew it out of the waters. And this is a very respected group. You know, and we've talked about that. They acknowledge that it doesn't work. And you know, at best, you know, they said kind of like we talked shingles shots, 1%, right? 14%. You know, what is their definition of success? If they can measure an antibody through titer, not that you got the flu or didn't, because you could still get the flu, but they won't call it the flu. Remember, they changed the names. Well, you had a flu shot and you got the flu. No, you didn't get the flu. It's something else, right?
Exactly.
And so this is a word game. This is manipulation of our minds through language selection. Very carefully done, and we have to be smarter than they are. And that's not hard to do, but we have to wake up, detoxify our bodies, and stay far, far away from these things.
Yeah, and we're going to continue to be smarter than they are through films like this, like The Truth About Vaccines.
Absolutely.
So, Robert, thanks for sharing. We'll talk again soon.
Ty, thanks so much.
Yep.